Hey guys, welcome back to the Unshakable Life podcast. I'm your host, Jim, and I am so grateful that you're here. And today I have a guest with me, and we're going to really take a deep dive in why you're not totally aligned and how we can maybe fix that. And with that being said, I want to welcome to the podcast, Scott Mader.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here too. Looking forward to this conversation. But before we do that, why don't you go ahead and take like 60 to 90 seconds and let people know who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I call myself a stewardship coach. So the short version of that is I help people master their time, their talent, and their treasures so that they can live out their calling. What that looks like is folks come to me. A lot of times they feel like there's something on their heart. There's something that they're supposed to be doing. There's something that they feel like they're called to do, but time or money is holding them back. And then when they come to work with me, we actually work on the talent part, because the truth is, it's not about time and not about money. It's about you, because how you handle your time and how you handle your money is really about how you handle yourself, your habits, your mindsets, your behaviors, those sorts of things. And that's the alignment that we're talking about,
right?
Is we try to get that part aligned, and then the time and money start working, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so this actually will brings up a myriad of questions, because I find that one of the things in Christianity is that stewardship's a big topic, but not a lot of people do it well.
Not a lot of people talk about it well either.
That's probably true too. So just for definition purposes, let's start with, how do you define stewardship? Let's start there and we'll work our way through that.
So stewardship, you know, the quote textbook definition is, simply means managing resources for someone else. So back in feudal times, you know, the lord had the castle, they were in charge of all the land, they owned all the land, but the noble couldn't be bothered with the day-to-day mechanics of, you know, counting the grain and making sure people were paying their taxes and all of that sort of stuff. So they would hire a steward whose job was to manage the resources on behalf of the king or the lord or the owner of the castle. So in Christian terms, we've kind of translated that over to the Lord is no longer the Lord of the castle, it's God, and we're blessed with these resources, and our job is to manage those resources on behalf of God. So not for ourselves, but for what God is calling us to do. And when you think about that, the first mistake people make is they immediately think financial. In fact, I jokingly say I'm trying to reclaim the word stewardship from, hey, we've started a building campaign, so please fill out this donation card. Because unfortunately, that's the only time a lot of churches talk about stewardship. You know, they start a building campaign. Hey, we're going to start talking about stewardship all of a sudden. And it's like, why wasn't this important last year? Because quite frankly, it's just as important when you're not doing a building campaign. Because it's really about figuring out how to get your head and your heart right so that you're putting God first. And realizing that all these resources that you've been given, it's not about the tithe. It's not about, you know, giving 10% or giving this. It's about looking at everything that comes into your life and saying, what is God calling for me to do with this to provide for my family? Yes, but also to serve others and to expand the kingdom, to do ministry, to do whatever it is that you're called to do. And that can look a million different ways for everybody on the planet. It's not like there's one size fits all. You always do it this way.
Right. So this brings up this, thank you for sharing with that. And this brings up another line of questions. And one of them being, you're first and foremost, you're absolutely correct. You know, as a former church pastor at one point in my life, definitely the way we talk about stewardship has to shift.
Yeah.
With that being said, there's always this push and pull of the owner versus stewardship.
Right.
So why do you feel like a lot of times we don't want to give up ownership?
Control, pride. You know, ultimately at the root, it's a sense of feeling like you know better. You know, that's the pride thing. You know, the statement of, well, I feel called to give this or to do something with the resources, but you know what? If I kept them, you know, it's going to be better for me. It's going to be better for my family. Things are going to be better taken care of. You know, I can pick and choose how it's used and what happens with it. And I'm better at it in a way. So it really, to me, it comes down to pride. It comes down to putting our faith in ourselves and not our faith into the Holy Spirit and what God is calling us to do. And of course, that's the other challenge, is knowing the difference between, is this just a wild thought, or, you know, is this really something that I'm being called to do? And what does that look like for me?
Yeah. So this brings up really like a line we're thinking about, you know, working, like constantly working your calling as opposed to living it. Because if I'm the owner, then I've got to manage, I've got to do all these things, this control, this pride.
I own it.
So I'm constantly in the loop of working it. How have you seen people be able to shift from that owner, I'm working it, I'm burning out, to something that gives life?
Yeah, it's a mind shift. It's not so much the actions that they do, but it's okay. The mental outlook behind the action. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, I work a lot of hours, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't do it because it's like, oh, I've got to grind and hustle and make this happen. And, you know, it all depends on me and I've got to go out there and kill it. I do it because I love it. You know what I mean? It's not work. It's fun. You know, I get on a client call and I get off the call and it's like, great, let's, you know, do I have 5 more calls today? Cause this is awesome. You know, it's like, you know, I want to do it, you know? And so it's not the work. It's the attitude behind the work. Mm. It's not you know, it's not even how much money you have in your bank. You know, I work with a lot of people in finances, and I've worked with people that make insane incomes and mm-hmm. have huge amounts of money in the bank and have all of these resources and are freaked out. And, you know, literally I've had people that are like, I must be bankrupt. And it's like, you've got $10,000 worth of debt and you make $680,000 a year. Shut up. You know, you're not bankrupt, you know, but they feel that. It's not, because it's not real. It's not a math problem. It's a mindset problem. They're looking at it the wrong way. They're looking at it as it's all on me. When mm-hmm. the reality is, when you can open your hand and when you can kind of let go of some of that, you can hold on to it, but you're not holding on to it with a closed fist. You're holding on to it with an open hand. What I mean by that is, when I close my fist down on it, you know, I feel like, okay, I'm going to hold on to everything. Nothing can get out. Well, that's true. Right. But also nothing can get in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times where we change is by the stuff that flows into our life. You know, the relationships we build, the people we connect with, sometimes the blessings that flow in, and blessings aren't always monetary, but it's all of these things flowing into our life that then allow us to have things flowing out of our life that grow things. You know, the difference between a reservoir and a river is a reservoir is dammed up. Mm-hmm. Well, go look downstream from a reservoir and there's no green plants except when they open the dam. You know, the only time there's growth is when they open it up and allow it to flow again. If it's blocked off, nothing grows. Mm. Where a river, where it's constantly flowing, there's constant growth. And so it's shifting that mindset from the closed reservoir, I've got to hold on to it, it's all on me, to the open, well, some things are going to flow out, you know, and some things are going to flow in, and it's dynamic, and it's always changing. And that's why that's so uncomfortable for us, because it feels like you're building on sand, when the reality is the holding on to it is built on sand, and the letting God have the ownership of it is built on rock.
Right.
But it feels like that's less certain because I don't control it. You know, I give it up. I give up control.
You know, that's just, I'm like, wow, I don't think I've ever thought of that. Like, if you're thinking about closing your hand in control, not only are you not letting things out, but things don't get in.
And nothing gets in.
Oh, I'm like, wow. That alone is an incredibly perspective shift, because everybody wants stuff from God, but don't want to let go what's in their hands.
And they don't let go, and so nothing can get in, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't let go, if you don't make room for God to operate, well, it's not that we can block God. I mean, let's face it. If God wants something to happen, it's going to happen.
Right.
But we become resistant to it. So, you know, it's like God's up there. It's kind of like the parent, you know, who's thinking about the Christmas gift for their kid. And they've got something in mind. It's this great plan. And they know the kid's going to love it, but the kid refuses that gift for something lesser because they don't even realize that other gift is out there.
Right.
You know, they're blind to it. I kind of think sometimes God is in the same position where God's going, you know, if you just let go of that, there's so much more for you over here. There's all of this greatness that you haven't even seen yet. I know it's there, but you won't let go of that. And so there's no room in your life to allow that to flow in, that growth to happen and that building to happen. And we block ourselves from some of the best blessings that we could ever have. And we're blind to it, but it is a mindset shift. I mean, even think about the posture, right? If I have closed fist and raise my hands, think about it. That's not real attractive to the list. You know, you're looking at the picture right now and you're going, dude wants to fight, you know, something's wrong. But if I'm standing there with that's universal. This is a posture of peace. You know, this is a posture of openness. This is a posture of, hey, let's talk. You know, where this is a posture of violence and pushing away. And so it's literally, you know, our body posture is really our mental posture, because when we shut down mentally, we're pushing everything away.
Yeah. So two things. First and foremost, I think you should have a shirt that says, "I'm your attitude adjuster." Just, I think that would be an incredible shirt to have. But as a side note, so you've coached a lot of people. And so, like, what would you say to the listener right now who is like, okay, I'm struggling with control. I hear what you're saying. I want to let go, but I'm struggling to even take that first step. What do you think is a first step for people?
Start small. Pick something as small as, you know, how you get to work in the morning. Whatever. I'm literally pick something small. It doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And begin to say, okay, what can I do to relinquish some sense of habit, some sense of mastery, some sense of control about this thing? It doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be money, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it's about allowing some flexibility and some freedom in. And now I'm going to balance that with, you know, I'm also a big believer in building systems and processes and habits to work for you. So examine the things that you have and look at, what am I holding on to that's actually holding me back, or that's keeping me from maybe doing something in a different way? Okay. Example, I've got to go back to the kind of getting to work in the morning. A lot of us struggle with, we always say things like, oh, I want to get up early in the morning so that I can, you know, spend some prayer time and do this sort of thing. And then I'm going to drive to work. And then we struggle out of bed at the last possible second, you know, slam down a cup of coffee and run out, you know, at the last minute. So what is it about your life that's keeping you from getting up early? I'll give you a hint. It's usually happening the day before. More often than not, the reason we're not getting up early is because we're not doing a good job the day before setting our life up to get up early. We're not, whether that's laying out the clothes and making that decision ahead of time, whether that's going to bed a little earlier, you know, maybe if you're a snooze button person, maybe it's as simple as moving the alarm clock across the room. Just stop and think for a minute. Now, instead of hitting the snooze button, I got to get out of bed to go hit the snooze button.
Yeah.
Well, once I'm out of bed, I'm more likely to stay up, you know, and it, you know, it's little things like that, that sound small. And at first glance, you're like, how is this giving up control? But the point is you're using systems and habits to do the things that, you know, you should be doing, but you're not doing them because you're such a control freak. You know, you're holding on so tight to, I got to get all the other stuff done. And usually it's about, what am I saying yes to? But there's something you have to say no to create the room to say yes. So if getting up early is a goal, what can I do to create the room to say yes to getting up early? And I'm using getting up early because it's a really common example, but literally you could pick, you know, this could be as simple as flossing your teeth. I don't care what it is. It's examine what's holding you back from doing those things. And what do I need to say no to, so I can say yes to that thing that's more important that I know God wants me to do.
Yeah. So I heard it said, so let me ask you this. So I heard it said, you rise to the level of your systems, right? That's what you're talking about. I think it was Maxwell said that, but I don't know. So what are like,
I'm sure Maxwell has said it. I don't know if he
yeah,
was the original
I don't know if he
person
was the original, but at some point
that
he has probably
said it. I'm
said
probably sure he
it. So,
said
what would you say for you? What are like an example or one or two examples of your own life that these are pivotal systems or habits that you have that have made you successful?
So two that I use every day, and I teach these a lot, is one is what I call the brain dump or closing cognitive loops. That's another way of phrasing it. What it basically boils down to is I try to use my head for stuff that it's good at, which is thinking and making decisions and processing. Your brain is actually really bad at remembering stuff. And yet, what do we do all the time? We try to remember all the stuff. So I make lists, you know. I got a to-do list right over there on this other screen. You know, I can look and I can click a button and I can see what are the things I have to do today. And I'm very religious about when I've got something that comes up that, oh, I got to remember to do this in 2 weeks. Dude, I don't remember it. I put it down, you know, and I have a system where it pops up in 2 weeks if that's when I need to think about it. And I trust that system. I've learned and developed a system that I can trust. And because I can trust it, my brain is now able to go, yep, he wrote it down, and then forget it, you know, and I don't dwell on it and worry about it and think about it. And so now when I'm focused on something important, I can actually focus on that something important. I'm not distracted. The second one, and it's small, but again, it's big, is the same sort of idea, but using a calendar. So here's the difference. A task list is for keeping track of things that you need to do. A calendar is for keeping track of things that are fixed in place and time. So in other words, I use it to make appointments, right? But some of those appointments are important appointments that probably most people don't put on their calendar. So back in the day when I had a young son at home, he's an adult now and out of the house. Yay. That's winning. You know, when he was at home, he was in band. And so, like, for instance, the first thing I would do as soon as the band schedule came out is I would go to my calendar and I would block off every single band event that I needed to go to that year. Why? Because family is important to me. So it takes priority. And guess what? If a client wants to schedule at that time, I'm sorry, I'm not available. You know, it's blocked off. It doesn't even show up on my calendar. You can't book an appointment then because my appointment is to be at my son's band event. You know, other times it may be an appointment with to spend time with my wife, or it may be an appointment to do something else that maybe even just an appointment, block it off so that I have some time to work on business and do deep work. And, you know, clients can't book during that time. The point is you use the calendar to make appointments, but not just with other people. There's also personal appointments. There's also other commitments. You know, church is on my calendar, you know, because I do that, you know, and that's a commitment to me. So it's using it to manage the commitments that you're making, not just external commitments, but also internal commitments as well.
Yeah, I love that. And let me just say this thing to you, the listener. Guys, there was something really big that he dropped. You gotta trust the thing that you built. And there's such a lack of trust in us a lot of times, especially if you've been through trauma or you got nervous system issues. You've got to retrain it to trust because that's the key. And I thought that was huge when you said that I trust what I've built and now my brain is safe enough to let it go do its thing. And I'm
And that
like,
takes
wow.
time too. It's important to recognize that. The very first iteration that I built, I didn't trust it fully. And, you know, because it didn't work yet. And you know, I had to iterate and play with it some, which is again one of the, you know, one of the reasons that people will come to someone like me as a coach is not because I have this one perfect system that is going to work for everyone. No, instead, think of it almost like the mechanic who's just got all the tools, you know, and I've got a really big toolbox with a lot of different tools. And sometimes it's like, okay, you can't use that for your task list. You've got to do it a different way. Because you know the concept still stays. You've got to have a capturing system, but the way your capturing system may not be identical to mine. And that's not because one is right and the other's wrong. It's because we're different people. You know, we have different brain chemistry, we have different personalities, we have different motivations. When you recognize that, you realize it's not about finding the one perfect system that works for everyone. It's about finding the system that works for you.
I like that.
I don't care if it works for anyone else, you know.
Yeah, I like
And
that a
that takes
lot.
some experimentation. That takes some practice. You know, that doesn't happen the first time out of the gate.
Yeah, I love it because that stands in the face of a lot of the current marketers out there that says, here's the one size fits all. And you're like, no, here's what I need to tailor to your special needs. That is right there. I'm sold. Like, I love that. So, as you opened up the conversation when we started talking, you said, hey, listen, I'm trying to take back finances from, the church and all that stuff because stewardship is more than finances. So, moving it on to time and talent, because those time, treasure, talent. How does one actually steward their time and their talent better or at all?
So time we were actually just talking about really effectively when we talk about calendars and task lists and those sorts of things, because I think the mistake we make when we think about stewardship with time is we think about it in terms of, oh, I need to do more. It's not. It's I need to do the right things. You know, it's not about doing more. I mean, think about it. We use busy nowadays as a badge of honor. It's a greeting. You know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. You know, oh, you think you're busy? Let me tell you how busy I am, right? That's almost the conversation we have. Busy simply means doing a lot of stuff. Busy doesn't mean any of that stuff matters. Like I could pay you, I could say, hey, I'm going to hire you. I've got a pile of rocks in my backyard and I'm going to pay you $100 a day. And what I'm going to ask you to do is go pick up a rock from one side of the yard, carry it to a pile on the other side of the yard, put the rock down, go back, you know, just all day long, pick up rocks. And by the way, if you move the whole pile, just pick them up from the new pile and pick them back, take them back to where the old pile was. You know, just move rocks all day long. $100 a day. Sound good to you? Not so great. How
That's
about a
great.
thousand dollars? How about $1,000 a day?
We're getting there, but it's
10,000?
still, but it still gets to the point of what's your number and how much time do you want to put into it?
Bingo. At some point, there is a number where I could say, I'm going to pay you this a day, and you would go, okay, I'll do it. But even there, there's a point where I'd pay you enough days, and you'd go, I got enough money in my bank account now. I'm
I'm
done.
done.
I'm going to
I'm
go do
out.
something else.
I
You
can
know,
retire.
you are not doing this the rest of your life because it's just busy work. I mean, that's even what we call it, busy work. It's not, it doesn't have any meaning. You're not building a cathedral. You're not building a wall. You're not even digging a ditch. You're just literally moving a pile of rocks. Okay. And that's when we think about time, too often we think about the more, you know, how can I get more done? How can I get more done? How can I get more done? I'm like, no. How can you get the right things done? I don't really care if you get five things done or 55 things done. I care if you get the right five things done, right? It's not about piling more. And when you shift your mindset and start looking at, wait, what are the right things to get done? It lets you again start saying no to some stuff so that you can have room to say yes to the right stuff. We're back to why did I put my kid's band concert on the calendar the first thing? Because if I didn't put it down, I wouldn't be there. Something would come up that was more important. Well, I wanted my kid to know you're the important thing, you know. That was important to me that he felt like I was present in his life. So I made that happen. You know, it's not by accident that that happens. It's intentionality. And that's with time, which brings us to the third one, which is talent. Because again, all of this is really about what's happening between your ears and your head and in your heart. You know, it's the mindset, it's the belief. It's the intentionality. What did I just say? I made an intentional decision to be in my son's life because that was important to me, that he knows that he's important to me. You know, that it was both ways. I had a why behind it, and there was a purpose for him. And guess what? He knows that he's important to me. You know, I made a commitment. So I grew up with an alcoholic father. I can remember him saying, I love you to me one time in my entire life. When I had a son, I'm like, I literally told my wife, I said, he is going to hear I love you from me every single day of his life. You know, and my wife has a little bit of a, really? Okay. You know, that's a, guess what? My son's 22. He lives out of the house. I text him every day. You know, I love you. Oh, still to this day. I don't think I've ever missed a day, or maybe, you know, maybe a handful in my entire life, but not very many, because it's a commitment. It's intentionality. Mm-hmm. That's the talent side. You have to make intentional decisions about what are you going to put into your life? What are you going to prioritize? How are you going to reflect that calling that God has put on you so that you can actually live it out? And until you do that intentional work, you're just living by accident.
Mm, that's great. You know, I harp on a lot of intentionality. A lot of my episodes, they'll hear it like, hey, be intentional, be intentional, be intentional. Because I think we're so haphazard with our time. We're so
always.
We're just so chaotic. And then we'll slough it off like, oh, I just have ADHD, or oh, I'm just this. Nah, it's just, we just lack accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really appreciate all the ways you've brought this out, because it's very rare when you have somebody on who, number one, is an expert in their field like you are. And I appreciate that. And number two, about stewardship, that's not a conversation we hear often, but it's something that we're called to live every day of our life. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I would love for the audience to be able to find you. How can they do that?
Actually, real easy. I set up a landing page just for your listeners. So if you go over to my website, which is inspiredstewardship.com, and then just put in /unshakable life, you'll find a landing page there. It's got some free resources that you can just download. You just put in your email and they'll come to you. It's got information about my podcast that I have, if anyone's interested in that, as well as the book that I've written called Inspired Living. That's over there as well. So, and there's a place, if you have any questions or just want to chat, there's a place you can book a call and jump on a call and ask questions. If something I said resonated with you and you're like, wait, I need to hear more about that, jump on my calendar. No pressure. No, I don't do any of that hard sell stuff or any of that junk. It's really just have a conversation. Mm. And again, you can find all of that over at inspiredstewardship.com /unshakable life.
And for you guys who are listening, I'm going to put that all in the show notes, because I want you to get there easy. And please, please, please connect with Scott, because this has been an incredible conversation over stewardship, and because you're called to it. This is something that we have to do for the rest of our lives. Please do the best thing. Be intentional. Give yourself the ability to grow in this area. Go over to his website, listen and binge his podcast, and then connect. So first and foremost, Scott, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you deeply.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated our conversation, and I hope the listener got value.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And to you guys who have been listening, you know, if you want a compendium episode, I just dropped an episode, depending upon when you listen to this one, when this goes live. So the date is 12/9/25, or episode 68. It's called How to Stop Being Guilty for Doing Less. And it's a great compendium to this episode.
I was going to say, that'll fit really good.
And I just dropped that today, although this recording that we've done won't go out for a few weeks. But also, guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'm going to see you on the next episode, or on episode 68 if you go over there. Have a great day. Thank you for spending this time with me on the Unshakable Life podcast. My prayer is that today's conversation helps you to build resilience, reclaim peace, and step with courage into your God-given calling. If this episode has encouraged you, challenged you, or impacted you in any way, could you do me a favor? Share it with a friend, leave a review, and hit the follow so you don't miss what's next. And if you want more tools and encouragement for your journey, head over to leadwithjim.com. You'll find resources to help you grow as a healthy, authentic Christian leader, entrepreneur, and creator. And until next time, remember, your foundation is Christ, your calling is unshakable, and your life can make eternal impact. This is the unshakable life, mindset, resilience, action, no strife, break free from the burnout, find your true north, with your guide, Jim Burgoon, stepping forward.